Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this here program. I'm Tim with Fred Jackson. Good morning again, Fred.
Good morning again.
Brother Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. It's a fall day there, isn't it, Ray?
Oh, it's a beautiful fall day. Warmed up. I think, Fred, we're in the 70s now.
So oh, wow.
We're doing good. Yeah.
And Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us right now.
Good morning, everybody.
Good to have Steve with us.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Steve.
Yes, sir.
What's your first story for us this morning?
I wanted to follow up a little bit on, I know you guys were talking about Frank, about Charlie. There is a little bit of a dust up going on right now in Chicago. The announcer for the Mets. The Chicago and
the Mets are playing the Cubs in Chicago. I saw it last night.
Okay. So okay. Mets announcer Gary Cohn has a problem with one of the Cubs players. Matt Shaw missed a game to go to the Charlie Kirk's Memorial. When he came up to bat last night, this is what Gary Cohn, the Mets announcer, said. Cut 16.
Shaw had Cubs World in a tizzy this weekend when he was not here for the Cubs game with the Reds. Game they lost 1-0. And in which his lack of presence was felt. It was later revealed that he had been given permission to attend Charlie Kirk's funeral. And I don't want to talk about any of the politics of it, but the thought of leaving your team in the middle of a race for any reason other than a family emergency really strikes me as weird.
It's unusual. I think it's unprecedented, at least from my experience as a player.
Mets fans are a little upset. They are boycotting and asking for an apology from Gary Cohn. They're asking for refunds for games.
Okay, that was the Mets. The Mets radio broadcast.
It was.
Talking about a Chicago Cubs player,
yes,
who went to attend Charlie Kirk's funeral. Well, I read about that, and that is people might say, well, it's just a ball game. Yes, that is true. But this is a big business. This is big business. And so it's kind of like your job. So this baseball player for the Cubs, what's his name?
His name is Matt Shaw. He's a rookie.
Okay, so he gets paid a lot of money by the Cubs to help them try to win the playoffs and championships.
And they're in a playoff race.
So it's a big deal. I know it's more than just a ball game, okay? It's not a park and rec game. This is big business. So
right.
In light of what happened with Charlie Kirk, he was a friend of Charlie Kirk and his family.
He was a good friend of Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was a Cubs player. And, in fact, we're going to hear from Eric.
He wasn't a Cubs player. He was Cubs fan, lifelong Cubs fan. He's from Chicago.
My mind is going too fast. Charlie Kirk. He is, and he's a big fan of the Chicago Cubs. And this is Matt Shaw. They asked him about this.
This is the player.
This is the player we're going to hear for. This is about a minute 20. It's a little longer, cut 17.
All the veteran players that I've talked to, and really the whole team, having their support was really important to me. Charlie, he was, he was someone that I met at the apartments in Arizona where I lived, and then someone who was one of the biggest Cubs fans I ever met. And he texted me after every game, great win for the Cubbies, and he was super, super supportive of us, and obviously someone who was really faithful, so we connected on that front as well. His wife Erica had texted me asking me if I would come to the funeral, and I felt as though it was something that was really important for me to do.
Are you concerned about the backlash, because there is a lot of politics about this?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, I'm not concerned at all. No, my connection with Charlie was through our faith. That's something that drives me every day. That's the reason why I'm able to do what I do every day, and that's something I'm extremely thankful for. I know without my faith and without the many blessings I've been given in my life that I wouldn't be here, able to talk to you guys, able to help this team eventually go and win championships. So that's something I feel really, really blessed about. So, you know, whatever backlash comes is okay. You know, I feel strong about my faith in that what was meant to be happening.
Man.
Okay, so Erica Kirk personally invited him to come to the memorial.
Yes. And the Cubs released him to do it.
Well, then it's none of the Mets broadcasting team's business.
Yeah.
That announcer, Cohen.
Yeah.
He should have skipped that subject.
He might have wanted to. Someone pointed out it's odd coming from a guy who skipped a day of broadcasting because a pet died.
Oh, did he?
At one point.
Oh.
That's according to one of the responses.
Ray, did you hear about this story?
I sure did. And once I heard, because, you know, at least it's a fair question. You got to pin it, Race, right?
Right.
But when you know that he knew Charlie,
right,
they were friends,
right,
and
personal
that Erica
friends
asked him to come,
right,
and the club released him to go, then there's no controversy.
Right.
He went.
Right.
Now,
I know. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this commentator should have skipped that subject and not gotten in, especially since he's a opposing team's commentator. Anyway, next story.
All right. There are a lot of weird and stupid trends that tend to pop up on TikTok. They're called TikTok trends. There's a very dangerous one going on right now, and it's rooted, as you may believe, you may know, on Trump derangement syndrome. So yesterday, Donald Trump went out the day before. I've missed a day.
For those who don't know what tic-tac-toe is, Steve, what are we talking about here?
TikTok is a social media app where people post videos. It's very
a lot of them are dancing and
it's very popular with the youngins.
Yeah.
And
it's hugely popular it's probably the number one used social media app in the world, is it not?
It might be, and it's in the middle of being purchased.
Okay. So,
but anyway. So one of the trends that they're starting to see after Donald Trump the day before yesterday got up and announced that there was a link between acetaminophen and autism, and he mentioned the brand Tylenol by name, a lot of pregnant women with TDS are going to prove him wrong. And so they're sitting here taking Tylenol. Well, look, I'll show them. And I'll take Tylenol and nothing's going to happen.
While they're pregnant?
Yes. It's just stupid. They'll do anything just
so there's a TikTok page or whatever devoted to this?
Not a page, but a trend that's going on TikTok.
Okay.
You're seeing this. Well, there's a group called Frontline Nurses, and one of their members is Nicole Sirotek, a young nurse who took a phone call from a distraught husband, and I'll let her talk about the rest, cut 13.
I got a call, a very frantic call at 4:00 in the morning from a husband whose wife is now dying of liver failure on a ventilator in an ICU because she was trying to prove that Tylenol doesn't cause autism because of what Trump said on the news. Mind you, that's a Harvard study. The issue is that she's somewhere between 23 to 25 weeks and she overdosed on Tylenol and she's going to die. She's not going to come off that ventilator. She's going to die. It's going to be, let me tell you something about Tylenol overdosing and death, is that if you aren't administered the antidote, it is a very slow and painful death, okay? Because Tylenol, as well as Benadryl and aspirin, are the three most common OTCs that people will typically try to unalive themselves with, you know, so I don't get censored. But now people are just taking massive amounts of Tylenol to prove Trump wrong.
My goodness.
That's crazy.
Huh? It's sick.
Yeah.
Good gracious.
Yeah, yeah. TDS, Trump derangement syndrome. anyway, next story.
All right.
That's sad.
It is. It's very sad.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go back to Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA, as Frank has talked about, has a lot of new requests for chapters, and they're putting them through as quick as they can. Am I able to call for okay, I'll but they're having problems at one university. Apparently, the University of Cincinnati has decided to kick the campus, the Turning Point USA Club off campus. So they've kicked them off campus. They have decided to charge them rent for their events, and someone posted on Twitter this message, cut 14.
University of Cincinnati has removed the Turning Point USA chapter from their campus with no explanation as to why. The president of the chapter has sent me the email that they received, and this is what it says. In addition to no longer being an active registered student organization at the university for no reason, they are now being charged for the space rental for reservations that they already had in place. It's already hard enough to be a conservative student on campus, and now the schools are making it even harder. And keep in mind, this university has a history of giving conservative students backlash. A couple years ago, I was failed at the University of Cincinnati for using the term biological woman in a required DEI course as a chemistry major. It's time to start putting pressure on these universities and stop this backlash.
This is the University of Cincinnati?
This is the University of Cincinnati.
I hope they have a good legal team.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get sued.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they should be sued. Mm-hmm. The university's going to lose.
Of course.
They're going to lose on this.
Yep. Absolutely. Hey, I want to talk about, Steve, you don't even know I'm going to bring this up.
I'll do it on the fly. I'll wing it.
I want to talk about World War III. Can we?
We can.
Now, if that didn't get your attention, I don't know what does.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
I know. It's moving right along. And in other news, the end of the world, ladies and gentlemen. I'm kidding around, obviously, and that's rare for me. But
not exactly.
But yeah, no. But there is a gathering storm, can I put it that way, that maybe a lot of Americans aren't really paying attention to because of all our internal stuff that people deal with in their daily lives, and then the domestic news that we talk about here going on in our country. But, and I'm not here to, you know, proclaim doomsday, although the Bible does.
One day. Yes, it does.
The Bible does. I don't know when doomsday. Somebody predicted the rapture was supposed to happen yesterday.
Yeah.
Right.
And now,
I missed it.
I know, I evidently. Know.
I guess they're going to come back today and say their batteries were low on their calculator or something.
I hope they don't say they maxed out their credit cards.
I know.
Right.
That's been tried, you know, a few times down through history.
Right.
I know somebody wrote 88 reasons the rapture will occur in 1988.
Right.
And
that's right.
Here we are. But in all seriousness, the tensions in the Middle East, the tensions in Europe, between Ukraine and Russia, and could NATO be drawn into a direct war with Russia? Nuclear weapons are owned by Russia, for example.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Fred, there's some things happening that are very, very contentious right now.
Well, listen to the words of the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, to the United Nations. In his speech, he told world leaders yesterday that the world is in, quote, the most destructive arms race in human history, and called on the international community to act against Russia now, asserting that Vladimir Putin wants to expand his war in Europe. You know, we remember just a few weeks ago, President Trump met with Putin in Alaska. There was some optimism that there might be a deal, but it's gone the other way. Putin has increased his attacks in Ukraine. Now we have President Trump, you have NATO nations now giving serious consideration to be getting much more involved with helping Ukraine. On top of that, and what's building, is that we've had incursions by the Russians into NATO countries in recent days. So Putin is showing no signs of drawing back. In fact, at the United Nations this week, President Trump was there, gave his speech, etc. Then he met with a bunch of world leaders. And what we're seeing is, and I think Zelensky is exactly right, We are seeing a buildup of tensions. If these incursions increase, Trump was asked yesterday at the United Nations whether he would, if there are more of these incursions, if Russian airplanes come into Polish territory, whatever the case may be,
a NATO country,
would that NATO country be right in shooting down that Russian airplane? Trump did not hesitate for a second. He said, absolutely. And so right now, really, we're waiting for, what is Putin going to do? Is he going to press this? Will he draw back? And what Zelensky is saying, and what I think is building, is support for Zelensky. Because Trump also said, which was earlier this week, which was a huge change in policy, he says Ukraine should demand to take back all territory that Russia has gained, even since the start of this war. So you've got tensions building very high right now. What Zelensky has succeeded in doing is not only holding support, but gathering and increasing support from the United States and from NATO countries.
Right?
You know, we've come a long way from that showdown in the Oval Office,
yes,
with, you know, J.D. Vance and the president and Mr. Zelensky, which looked to be a disaster for Ukraine. To Fred, what you're talking about this week, the president basically said, he called out Russia, he called out Mr. Putin, and he basically said, I believe that with NATO's help, not only they could take back all the territory that Russia has gained in this war, he even, Fred, threw in another sentence, maybe they might want to go further than that. That's pure Trump at his best, just kind of throwing out there, maybe they want to go even further. And what do you make, Fred, of this? We got these drones over Denmark shutting down. Now, we don't think much here about Denmark in the great, mm-hmm, in the great geopolitical situation, but the drones came over the Denmark airports and shut them down. Does anybody doubt that was Russian interference? That was Russian aggression? And the Danish said, we were not able to neutralize them. Weren't able to shoot them down. This is an act of, it's a provocation.
Yes.
That's next door to an act of aggression that leads to war. Is Putin trying to lure NATO into a shooting war?
Article 5 of the NATO treaty commits every nation that is a member of NATO to come to the military kinetic aid of any other nation if it is attacked. They found Ray, to your point, they just, and my days are getting a little mixed up because I was off yesterday, but a couple days ago they found a huge room, a couple rooms in New York City full of telecom equipment.
Oh, yeah.
That was, is capable of causing tremendous havoc, uh-huh, on both through personal, ransom phone calls to shutting down all kinds of power, just like those drones did, you were talking about.
The FBI busted them.
Yep, I busted them. And they said that they were in contact with foreign players. So other countries were involved in this. And I heard someone say they found it in New York. They don't know if there's other ones in Chicago or Los Angeles or wherever else. Yeah, we're in perilous times.
Well, also, drones are a game changer for war.
Yeah.
And for terrorist activities and for a host of other reasons that are not good. And this is, for those who don't know, I know most people know what NATO is, but we keep using that acronym. That's the North American
Atlantic.
Isn't it a T?
North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Yes, thank you. North Atlantic Treaty Organization. You guys correct me if I got my history wrong here, but this was an organization created after World War II as a way to counterbalance the Soviet Union.
Uh-huh.
So that NATO countries, which is basically Western Europe, If any of them were attacked because they were all much smaller than the Soviet Union, this was before the Soviet Union crumbled and became just Russia. That it was meant to give the Soviet Union second thoughts, third thoughts, fourth thoughts about attacking any NATO country, because then that would involve all the other countries coming to their aid, including the United States. Canada too is
yes.
Canada. So Canada too. So if it, what the greater tension here beyond, you know, Denmark's airport being, is that if Russia were to provocate a military response from Poland, for example, you know, Poland got ticked the other day because Russia was flying jets into their airspace. Am I right? Or drones?
That's
or something.
Right. That's right.
So, I mean, you know, it, major wars have been started for things like this, or less than things like this. So let's say, you know, that would necessarily by NATO charter draw us, the United States, into a military conflict potentially with Russia. So that's what I mean by they're gathering storms here that have great potential for changing the world scene right now.
Absolutely. Right. And I think, you know, what we're looking at right now, Putin believes that the NATO countries would not go to the extent of responding to these incursions without war. I believe he believes that. I believe Putin thinks that he can keep pressing this, these incursions, and that NATO countries are not willing to really fight back. I think there is potential within Russia. I'm sure that there are Russian generals who are thinking, this guy, our leader, is going a little too far here. And there's a possibility that there could be objection from within Russia against Putin.
Well, the scary part, Ray, and then Steve comment, the scary part is if Vladimir Putin decides to, you know, if he feels, listen, he's been 3 years in Ukraine, they can't beat the Ukrainians.
Right.
Which are basically made up of pharmacists and farmers and factory workers who got their, and they did have somewhat of an army. I'm not saying they didn't, but nothing compared to
what Russia had,
the military might of Russia. And also Russia's, this is on their border. And yet here we are 3 years later and they still haven't been able to conquer Ukraine. And in fact, Trump's flip from Ukraine needs to cut a deal because there's no way they can stop the Russians to, I think Ukraine's going to get all their land back. I mean, that's crazy. That's what even the president of the United States is saying now. So, Ray, you want to comment, and then Steve, you comment.
Well, just here at the end, to circle back, Tim, no, the rapture didn't happen 2 days ago, but this is no time to let
your
guard
down. Well, if it did, we're all still here.
What are we doing here,
what
right?
What does that say to you?
You know, but let's understand something. We are living in perilous times, dangerous yes. days. Keep your eyes on the skies because Jesus is coming back, and I think he's coming back soon. Everybody better get ready.
Amen. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Fred, to Ray, to Frank, Brent Creeley, our producer, and Chris, who joined us last hour in studio. And we, as always, we appreciate you listening to today's issues and to the American Family Radio Network. So tomorrow will be Trivia Friday. I know Ed's here. I think JJ's here. JJ gonna
JJ
be here?
JJ's here this morning.
So is that true? you will hear that tomorrow from JJ Jasper. We'll see you back here then.